Pulse Smoker.
Episode 94 of TryGames.net podcast. This is your host, Mr. Chupon, and
I don't know why I decided to do that, but it was fun for a while.
While it lasted.
Then it started to hurt. So
it wasn't fun for the audience.
Yeah, I know, but I don't care. That's how we roll, bitch. We're Tony-less today. He is out attending to some errands. Hopefully he'll be back soon, at which point he can hop on, but if not, not. Instead, I'm here with the other two females. Alfred!
That's right, bitch!
Slunk!
Ma.
And we are here to talk about games and shit. We usually start off with what we've been playing. I'll go first, because I usually go last. And the only reason why I'm going first is because I haven't been playing anything different, still trying to finish off Trials and Tribulations, and that's it. So, what do you two go? You guys fight over it.
Mama. Slunks go! You weren't here last week!
Okay. I'm still the same, really. Civ 4. Civ.
Yo, I was in Target yesterday, and I saw Civ 3. It was like $9.99. I said, oh my god, Civ 4, $9.99! Oh wait, that's Civ 3. And then I wanted to get Civ 4, but they didn't have it, and it was $40 anyway. If it was like $30, I would have bought it.
The original Civ 4 goes for $20, and then they have Civ 4 Gold, which goes for $40, but comes with the first expansion.
Oh, because I saw the expansion, and it was $30, and I was like, no, that's what it was. It was the Civ 3 was $10. The expansion was $20, and Civ 4 was $30, and they didn't have any Civ 4s.
Right. Huh.
So I bought Age of Conan.
So I bought an entirely different game. Yeah. I need to pick up... I'm steadily staring at all these games while I'm working, going, why don't I own this? Like, Age of Conan, because that's the game that's supposed to tide me over to Warhammer Online, and yet here I am just sitting here playing my Civ 4. I recently just bought originally $600 tickets to Colorado, and then the payment got fucked up, so I had to redo everything, and they were $100 cheaper the second time around. So
good,
$500 ticket to Colorado, which stops in Texas, which James/Jimbo will jump on the plane and then fly with me. Yay.
Where are you going?
Colorado.
It's kind of like a little game spot get together.
Cool.
It's going to be me, Tyler, a.k.a. Kenshin836 on GameSpot, Jimbo, Matt/Ashuku lives in the area. He might stop by for a couple days.
Boo guns!
Yeah. Jim, a.k.a. Dende Atreus, he was supposed to come, but that's probably not going to happen. But that's about it. It's just a little get-together for a week or so. You're probably going to play way too much Rock Band for own good.
Strippers.
Yep.
Strippers. Just remember.
Stripper band.
No, just strippers.
Maybe if we're in Vegas. I don't know.
It's close enough to Vegas.
Getting over there. Other than that, just sit for spending all my money on plane tickets instead of games. And today I got a friend over, so anybody in the audience hearing any sickness coughing or sickness gagging or sickness in general, then...
Or racial epithets.
Or racial epithets and slurs, yes. But anyway.
Anslurs. I thought you meant like in like racial epithets being spoken in a drunken slur. That's what I thought you meant.
Actually, now that's what I meant. I didn't mean that before, but now I do.
Well, alrighty then. What you been playing then?
I have been playing Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass. I'm trying to find the pieces of pure metal, which is, I guess, the second part of the game. What else have I been playing? I just bought Age of Conan.
Hey, boy, Age of Adventures!
Buy me Age of Conan.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
And I mean, I bought Age of Conan just like kind of because everybody at work was talking about it, and they were like, "Dude, this is it's got like awesome graphics, and it's like wow, and stuff like that, and you can cut people's heads off." And
because
I said, "What?"
Every MMO is like, "Wow, yeah."
Well, yeah, but in this game, you can, like, cut people's heads off. Now, I just read in the manual that you could fight on your mount, which is something I wish Warcraft would do, but it doesn't. And so I'm like, uh-oh.
I just kind of hate hearing it's like WoW because it just kind of comes off as, WoW was the first MMO ever, in a way. But
yeah, it's kind of like how people say things like something is like something else that came after it.
Right.
And, yeah, I know what you mean.
I'd ask you how you like the game slash how you like the combat system, but supposedly you haven't played it much, so...
Yeah, I kind of just started the game, and then I unplugged my headphones, and the sound stopped working, and I was fooling with the graphics, and while fooling with the graphics, I think it just, like, stopped responding on me a lot.
Yeah.
Just because I was just constantly switching between this and I had other things running. Right, so right. I'll find some time to play it later on.
I wouldn't be surprised if your new computer kind of chugs in some areas if your graphics are set all the way on high. That game
is
pretty intensive. So
yeah, I'm going to try and find something that's a good, you know, balance, cuz you know, I played Crisis and I had everything on high and it was still running. I think it was running at the same frame rate, like 15.
Uh-huh.
And then I put on a medium and it was running a little bit more smoothly. So I'll see. I was also playing just for a few minutes earlier today some Mario Kart Wii, playing with Evelyn, and I won the out of the four races, which I was very happy about. Something that's rare. But it's absolute, like, rapage on 150cc. They really... And this girl put the CPU on hard, so they were just, like, fighting, like people who fight.
Ron got pwned.
Yeah, his friend Ron got beat multiple times by my fiance Evelyn in Mario Kart over the last weekend.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Sorry for blowing your spot, boy, but truth is truth.
Truth is truth. That's going to be the episode title.
Truth is truth. I'm trying to think of anything else that I might have played. I played the Penny Arcade game, the demo of On the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness.
Yeah, supposedly that turned out pretty good, so...
Yeah, I think I might buy it soon.
What did you compare it to? Scum plus ATB?
Yeah, it's basically like the Scum engine with the ATB engine. If anyone doesn't know, Scum is the engine that basically runs Maniac Mansion, where you click on stuff and it uses a verb and object approach. So like look at wall or pick up this, you know, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, ATB is the active time.
Get Xbox Live gamer tag banned.
Ew.
Segway.
Yeah, the ATB is active time battle from Final Fantasy IV and in some other games. And basically, if you just stand there in the middle of a battle, the enemy's timer will go up and they'll do their attack and they'll hit you until you die. As opposed to wait mode, which once your turn comes up, the game freezes and everybody makes jokes about wait. I hit you, then you hit me, and then I wait for you to hit me again. But it's pretty funny so far. I mean, it's like 10-minute demo. Right. You look through the first scene, and the character creation is pretty funny. The general animation, and like the game runs like freaking water on my computer, so I like it.
Oh, and you got the PC version, not the 360. Okay.
Yeah, the PC version. And
a wise choice.
I would much rather play a point and click game with something that I can point.
Oh, okay. Right. Makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, the animations and art style is awesome. The dialogue is pretty funny so far, but I'm pretty sure it's gonna get like even more hardcore once you get into the game. And I think it'll be a game that's worth going through, you know.
Right.
And stuff.
Oh, what's this? A Jolly Rancher? Oh yeah.
Oh no, Jolly Rancher Part 2.
Jolly Rancher Week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think that was all I've been playing because I played Final Fantasy 12 for like 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. And I played SimCity. I played SimCity for like 2.5 hours on Wednesday.
Jesus
Did
Christ.
You, like, quit your job and dump your girlfriend and or slash wife or just play games? Because you've played like how many games this week? Five, six?
Four.
Four.
And last week it was like fucking demo intensive. He's played like 27,000 demos.
Yeah, but see, the funny thing is like all the time together is basically about 8 hours maybe that I've played games this entire week.
So it was just quantity, not length of time.
Yeah, because like I played, you know, Age of Conan for 5 minutes, and then I played Zelda Phantom Hourglass while I was doing my laundry, and then I played Final Fantasy XII for like an hour one night, and then I played SimCity for like 2.5 hours while I was trying to, you know, do some things on my computer. So I'd be running back and forth, let the year go by on the game, sit at my computer, do something, manage the taxes. I went from like 48,000 people to 65,000 people in that period of time, bought an airport and everything. It was really cool.
Hmm.
So that is my weekend games.
I completely forgot that I did play some other shit, so I'll do it really quickly. Devil May Cry, okay. I played for about an hour on Wednesday, and I made no progress. No progress in the game, but I mean, the progress in Devil May Cry is that when you keep dying, you learn how to, you know, pass the level faster or beat the boss or whatever. So technically, yeah. I made no progress, but, you know, I made some. I also played... what was it that we played at my party on Saturday? Oh, it was Defend Your Castle.
And Defend Your Castle, yeah.
Played Defend Your Castle. That was pretty fun.
How many players did you get involved?
Four. We got four players.
Yeah.
And that's one reason why I might buy it for Wii over, you know, playing the PC version, just because you get multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I still don't know that I actually want to own it, though, but I don't know. And then I played Mario Kart, and I really just want to get my Double Dash back for my friend after playing that. Like, my problem with it is just... Well, this didn't happen to me very often because somehow I was lucky enough to stay in second, and usually the first player one is the one that gets ass-reamed. But more so than the other Mario Karts, it's just like, hey, look, that guy's winning. Communists don't like people who win. Let's take him down with a blue shell. Now, Evelyn must just be that good because I don't know how she survived all that shit, but...
Well, it wasn't on hard, and it was on 100cc, so...
Okay.
Like, when we were playing with 150cc on hard, she was getting, like, 4th, 9th, 11th, 12th.
Yep.
Just hear a yell in the background.
But yeah, it's like, I mean, I know Mario Kart's always been about that little communist rubber band, but it's like... It just looks so much worse, and it just comes out so much worse in this one. It's like...
Yeah, I've heard that there's just too many times that you just frequently get stopped on what you're doing by, like, a shell, or somebody blows by you with a mushroom, or just too many items involved, in a way.
Yeah, and you'll be, like, leagues in front of people, even though leagues are a measurement of...
That's kind of why I dislike Brawl at times, just because it doesn't feel like... In a way, it doesn't feel like a true fighting game, just because it just has so many items involved that could turn the tide of the battle, and it doesn't rely on skill 100%.
Well,
of the time.
The thing with Smash Brothers is that you can turn. I mean, a lot of players do play with the items turned off, and that's kind of what we are going for in Mario Kart. I was like, is there an option to turn the items off in Mario Kart? I think the difference is, well, for me at least, is Smash Brothers has enough to it with the core fighting. Right. Such that if you turn the items off, there's still the environments and there's still a lot of moves that you can use. Whereas in Mario Kart, the thing that distinguishes Mario Kart from any other racer is the items. So when you turn the items off, it's like, well, I might as well be playing Burnout, which I like much better than Mario Kart Wii, by the way.
Exactly.
You know? It's like you might as well be playing another racing game because Mario Kart, to me, Mario Kart without the items, you know...
It's pretty boring.
It's not boring. It's still fun because a lot of it relies on the tracks.
It's still like
well, it doesn't stand out as much, and it takes away a lot of the fun. Though I will say that the aforementioned Ron and like a bunch of my other friends always play with items turned off because they want to do it as a as a display of skill, and it's usually more accessible than like a Gran Turismo. So they do it as a display of skill, and that's cool. I'm not hating on Mario Kart the franchise, and I'm not actually hating on Mario Kart Wii. It's just that, well, I did own Double Dash, and I just lent it to a friend, and if I get that back, you know, I'm fine. And Mario Kart DS is just, in my opinion, better than it. You know, I like Mario Kart DS actually the best out of all the Mario Karts. I think it's really good. And this one is just like, hey, let's dumb it down so then like a 3-year-old or your grandma can play it too. Enough of that shit. I mean, I know that's what they're going for. If they want to do that, fine. It's just not what I want. And so, therefore, that's why I'm not buying it. And, oh, let me not forget to mention the fucking motion control in that shit. It's terrible.
It's novelty.
It's like, I haven't played it with the wheel, so I'm not going to judge it with the wheel, but I'm judging it with the Wiimote.
Okay.
It's terrible. Like, Excite Truck did it a lot better.
Supposedly the wheel makes it perfect. Like, maybe not perfect, but
sure it makes it more manageable because you're holding a heavier piece of plastic and the sensation is more akin to when you're actually driving and the buttons are more accessible. And that's okay. I do want to try it with the wheel. But as far as the Wiimote alone, fuck no. Excite Truck does it better. Like, Excite Truck, to me, does it a lot better, and I didn't like Excite Truck. So that says about how good, you know, the Wii.
But yeah, I think Mario Kart Wii was built around the wheel, and Excite Truck wasn't. So that might be the difference there.
Yeah, that could be it. But it's really funny because like the analog control, like as usual, if you're playing it with the nunchuck and Wiimote, like the analog control is so, it's perfect. It's great, and it's like, well, forget about the level of skill because I suck at Mario Kart anyway, so I'm gonna lose regardless. But if I'm going to play it, I'd rather be playing it with something that works, like the analog stick, which works wonders. It's great. You know, right. So I'm just like, you know, whatever. Well, let me shut up. I'm done.
Okay.
On to the noose.
Noose!
The year... the year is 1922, and the town is New Arcadia. And here's a door. Very good. And, there are the men who, with your help, will rescue this miserable world.
We are on to the noose. A little bit of more somber news. This is back talking about those kids who were, what was it? They were beating up this girl's sister and like imitated because they had just played Mortal Kombat or something.
No.
I can't remember the exact details because it was a while ago. But yeah, why don't you talk about it because you seem to remember it better than I do.
It's a girl and her boyfriend.
Right.
And, the girl's sister got beat up by the boyfriend because he was imitating moves from Mortal Kombat, but apparently Mortal Kombat had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It's just that he mentioned it or something, and he said his fists were registered as lethal weapons, and so then they killed the girl with blunt force trauma, and then they put her into a bathtub. You know, the whole bathtub thing. And then the boy cracked the egg in her mouth, and it got stuck in her throat.
I don't remember.
I didn't hear about that part. That's fucked up.
Yeah, he cracked the egg in her mouth to see if she would wake up.
I thought you meant he did that as part of her abuse.
No. Okay. Well, it is, but it's not. He didn't intend it to be a part of the abuse. He intended it to be like, if she's alive, she'll, you know, cough at the egg, but it got stuck in her throat.
That's still fucked up.
Yeah. And that's
a world failure at resurrection. Sorry.
That's just as bad as the tub thing, if not more.
Yeah, cracking an egg into a person's mouth is totally going to bring them back or prove that they're alive.
That's really stupid.
That's called putting your finger under their nose and check if they're breathing.
Yeah, you know? Seriously. Call the authorities, maybe? Okay, so they're being tried as adults, and what is this news story? What is the point of this news story?
It says that basically they're, you know, the 17-year-old and 16-year-old kids are being tried as adults, and they're probably going to get, like, life in jail or something.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
Rightfully so. I mean, what?
So wait. Here's the best part. Mm-hmm. According to authorities, Garcia, died after being kicked, hit, and pounded on the floor as the two teens reenacted Mortal Kombat. Roberts pushed Zoe, twisted the child's arms, and held her ankles, according to Trujillo. Police Detective Kathy Halderson said that Roberts told a friend he was doing martial arts on her, Zoe, and that his hands were registered as weapons. Were registered weapons, like I said before. Odd that this Mortal Kombat finger-pointing continues in light of comments from Gracia's aunt, who claims video games do not factor into this killing. This is from Brian Ashcraft from Kotaku. Tasteless fatality jokes and worrying about how this affects games aside, this is a terrible, terrible tragedy. Of course it is.
Fucked up.
I'd say fucked up. It'd be different if they would have stopped at some point, but if you're just continually doing this over the course of what I imagine is like 10 minutes to a half an hour, then you're fucking up. You're fucked up and you know what you're doing, and you should be charged as adults.
Yeah.
I can understand if, like, oh, watch me do this, and then you kick whoever in the head, and then you're like, oh, whoops.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Apparently, Shane Bittenhausen of 1UP and Ziff Davis and EGM and stuff, he said that when he was, like, 16 and he was into Street Fighter, he dragon punched his sister in the nose.
Ooh, ow.
Ow. But I don't know.
She probably had it coming.
What? Yeah, but this incident itself was just completely fucked up, and I'm glad they're being tried as adults. More legal shit, and I think this is something that everyone would be happy about. Jack Thompson, guilty on 27 of 31 misconduct charges, says bar trial judge. The Florida Supreme Court must now rule. This is from GamePolitics.com. Let's see. The judge who presided over Jack Thompson's Florida bar trial late last year has recommended that the controversial attorney be found guilty on 27 of 31 professional misconduct charges. Florida Supreme Court must now rule on those recommendations. In a report issued last week, Judge David Davatunis writes, after considering the arguments presented by the Florida bar and the respondent, Thompson, observing the respondent's demeanor during the nine-day trial proceedings, and carefully reviewing the record consisting of four volumes of exhibits. Holy shit. Totaling 1,700 pages and approximately 2,400 pages of transcribed testimony, the court finds that the facts, circumstances, and evidence presented regarding the respondent's conduct supports a finding of guilt as to certain Florida bar rules. It would be really weird if Davatunis ended up being a woman, but never mind.
Our town is under attack!
Tunis made 21 recommendations of guilt in relation to Thompson's participation in Strickland versus Sony in Alabama, case in which the anti-game attorney represented the families of two police officers and a police dispatcher slain by 18-year-old Grand Theft Auto player Devin Moore. If anybody remembers that, he basically says, "Well, we ought to go sometimes," and he started comparing all that shit to Grand Theft Auto and blame testing on Grand Theft Auto, and that was crazy.
Right.
Tunis also recommended that Thompson be found guilty on 4 out of 5 counts relating to his 2006 attempt to have Rockstar's bully declared a public nuisance in a case before Miami Judge Ronald Freeman. An additional 2 guilty counts stem from a non-video game matter. Okay. Does anybody want to read his list of offenses?
I could do it.
Here we go.
Wish we had our hands on the 4 volumes of testimony or whatever.
Testicular moment.
Through all that.
Right. Well, somebody read that. I pasted it.
It's a lot.
Oh.
Knowingly making a false statement of material fact or law to the to a tribunal. Knowingly disobeying an obligation under the rules of a tribunal.
In other words, fuck you, I'm doing it anyways.
Yes. Communicating the merits of the case with a judge before whom the proceeding is pending. Which I'm not sure what that means exactly.
He basically went up to a judge and was like, are you sure we need to do this or something like that? Or is this case really valid?
Like, probably inappropriately going up to the bench or whatever. Using means that have no purpose other than to embarrass, delay, or burden a third person. Rockstar! Engaging in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or a misrepresentation.
Eesh.
Yep. Engaging in conduct in connection with the practice of law that is prejudicial to the administration of justice, including to knowingly or through callous indifference. I'm not even sure how to read that.
Callous indifference.
Yeah, callous indifference, disparage or humiliate litigants or other lawyers. No, I fucked that up so bad that I don't even know.
It's all right, because this last one is great.
Oh, okay. making statements that the lawyer knows to be false, or with reckless disregard as to the truth or falsity concerning the qualifications or integrity of a judge.
Sounds like Fox News. Bye, yep. Jackie. So let's see.
Awesome.
So it's kind of like finally over in a way. I'm sure.
Well,
we have to see
what happens.
Yeah. And if it does go through the way we want it to, I'm sure he'll probably find a way to sneak back, but yeah.
He'll make his name a symbol.
He'll make his name a symbol. All right.
The artist formerly known as Jack Thompson. Or maybe the lawyer formerly known as Jack Thompson.
Sweet.
Well, I guess Jack Thompson...
His symbol's going to be a dildo.
There's no way to segue into this again, so I'm just going to say it. Microsoft explains Gaywood ban. I don't remember if you remember last week, the Gayer Gamer got his tag banned. Yeah. This week, this guy named Richard Gaywood got banned.
A.K.A. Dick Gaywood.
Now, as funny as that may be, apparently this is the guy's real name. So it's like, okay, well, that's his real name. Let him have it. But Kotaku says, late last night we learned the story of Richard Gaywood, the not-so-happy Xbox Live user whose gamer tag was banned. Since, quote, Richard Gaywood was both the user's gamertag as well as his legal, honest-to-goodness given name, those are some jerk parents, Kotaku contacted Microsoft to learn the reason behind the ban.
Doesn't Richard also mean Dick?
Yeah, that's why he said Dick Gaywood.
Yeah, okay. Dick Gaywood.
Quote, we want the Xbox Live community to have the freedom to express themselves, but we also have a responsibility to create an inclusive, safe environment, said Microsoft Stephen Talos. Well, it may be clear to some that Gaywood is a legitimate surname, it may not be obvious to other Xbox Live members. In this case, a complaint was filed by a member of the community requiring the Xbox Live team to examine the gamertag within the context of the Xbox Live terms of use. Based on these guidelines, it was necessary for the gamertag to change. What I really want to know is what reason the person had to file this complaint. You know, the honest to goodness, sit down with the person and say, so why did you report this name?
Chances
are,
what I'm saying is this. Let's say if the person was, if the person happened to be gay, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the reasons why shouldn't matter. Maybe it's just the fact that he reported in the first place. Maybe I'm living in an idealistic world where people should explain themselves, but this is just how I feel. If the person was gay, okay, and he did take offense and he thought that the screen name was not, you know, kosher, thought that it was insulting him, I can understand that. You know, I can understand that if it offends me and I'm like, hey, look. But I also think that there should be some more, like, investigation. Maybe, like, this is idealistic again, but maybe a dialogue could be open where the guy say, like, look, this is my real name. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I guess I know that there's very little room or time for that, but I just think it's shit that this guy's real name gets banned.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Mr. Glasscock in The Simpsons.
Yeah. It's not like his name was, I don't know, McDicky Suck Suck Face Gaywood or something.
I was talking about with the other one.
Yes.
Nah, I'm not even going to say it again.
What'd you say?
No, I said no, I'm not even going to say it because I said it last episode.
Okay.
Pole Smoker.
Yeah.
But wait, you know what I want to know? I would have to look at the terms of use, but I wonder if you are forbidden to use your real name or personally identifying information. I highly doubt it.
Well, no, that's a good point. I mean, and that's a good point. And if that's another reason, then that's legitimate. Like, I totally understand that because you don't want to fucking give your shit out.
Right.
You know, I would, if that's part of the TOS, I would agree with that. Yeah, that I'll agree with.
I wish,
because then that could just be, you know, the hidden angle, like, oh, well, last week the Gayer Gamer got denied, and now it's Gaywood. Maybe they're related, but maybe it's not.
Yeah. Kind of wish Microsoft would start paying attention to idiots, I don't know, talking trash excessively in games rather than banning people who just have a simple name mishap. So, cough, cough. Go.
Well, here's some more. Ignorance. Well, this wasn't wasn't really ignorant. It's just I feel it's stupid. But this one,
right?
Everything about the Prince of Persia movie, you know, it's coming to like Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be the prince and all that stuff in there. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. I forget who's directing it. Michael Bay,
probably.
Or Buck Timer. I forgot one of those.
Uwe Boll is pissed.
So now that whole shit's out, and apparently Kotaku is talking about this Entertainment Weekly writer who, you know, pretty much doesn't know anything. Says, let's see who wrote this. Mike Fahey says, I cannot imagine that someone who makes at least a part of their living on the internet could possibly be as out of touch as Entertainment Weekly's Simon Vosick-Levinson, who posted an article discussing the upcoming movie based on the, quote, classic computer game Prince of Persia, end quote. Especially considering that the simply typing the name of the movie, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, brings into your browser, brings up the video game immediately. He says,
still, I gotta wonder how much they're gonna make a movie out of this. As I recall, there wasn't much in the way of a plot to develop. Prince fights off menacing dude with a scimitar. Prince leaps from one vertiginous ledge to another. Prince gulps down life-saving potion. Prince fights off two menacing dudes with scimitars at the same time. Apparently, the big screen version is going to introduce a, quote, a quest for a, quote, gift from the gods that can reverse time and allow its possessor to rule the world, end quote. Which sounds a little more like a compelling narrative.
Which is pretty much what the game was based on. Hello?
I think that this Entertainment Weekly writer based his entire theory of the movie on the original game for the Amiga.
Right, and what Mike Fahey's saying is that if you type the full name of the movie into Google, Sands of Time comes
up. It'll bring up the actual game that the movie's based on. Stupid.
But, yeah, you'd expect a writer to know this shit. It's pretty funny. I was watching Knocked Up with my sister last week.
Mm-hmm.
And who hasn't seen it here?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, this shouldn't spoil anything. But,
okay.
Catherine Hagel is in the movie. She is employed at E, at the E channel, like, and she's like an interviewer on ETV,
right?
In entertainment TV, and so Seth Rogen's character makes a reference to Doc Brown and the DeLorean from Back to the Future,
right?
And she just goes, "I don't know what that means." And it's like, you work in entertainment.
Uh-huh.
You work in movies. Shouldn't you know what Back to the Future is?
It's kind of like how you were talking about the GameStop employee. He just shouldn't. Some people just shouldn't have certain jobs.
Yo, Dreamcast read this differently than we did, son. Fuck you.
It'll work fine.
But some more controversy. Last week on the heels of our big topic, your kids are fat. WeFit is now calling kids who aren't fat fat, which is completely fucked up. Well, I didn't watch this video. Al, apparently you have some interesting tidbits.
Oh, so it's basically a video of BBC and they're talking about the game, and they got this family and this little 11-year-old girl sitting there, and she's like four. Well, apparently they entered 4'11" as her height,
mm-hmm.
And I mean I'm not really sure because I was busy like talking to you guys and watching at the same time, but from what I got on it. It went 4'11", and then it said your BMI is 38, and then it said obese, and it had a little me, and then me had a big old stomach and big legs.
That
and
is,
said, oh my god,
that's terrible.
This is you. This is what you look like.
Yeah, sweet. So I thought that was pretty funny, and the girl, she wasn't fat at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I was making jokes. I was saying, well, from afar, she looked like she got a roll or two, but that was a joke. You know, and I find that really weird that,
hey,
you know, WeFit says
a roll or two. A roll or two is me. That girl does not look fat. I'm fucking.
No,
I'm a roll or two.
Nah, I was just joking.
I know.
But I know. You know. I know. I know. You know. And I know. They were just constantly like ragging on the game, as far as what I heard, because they were talking about it like, oh, it shouldn't even say things like that because it's supposed to be encouraging children and blah blah blah.
Right.
And yeah, I haven't seen it in my own eyes yet, but there was a girl in my job. I have to mention this; it's pretty funny. lady in my job, she's
portly,
not really fat, but she's a little portly, and she said, "I'm getting wee fit." And I said, oh, really? That's cool and everything. And I wasn't really in a good mood that day.
All right.
Uh-oh.
And so then we were talking about it, and I said, you know, it comes out on Wednesday. It looks like you're not going to have a tough time getting it, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end I said, don't get mad if the game calls you fat.
No.
And then she said, what? And I said it again. And then she said, oh, why you got to say that? You trying to say I'm fat? And I'm like, no, did I say that? I said, don't get mad if the game calls you fat. Because it's been calling a little 11-year-old girl's fat. And they're not fat.
And then and you awkwardly leave the room and never look back.
No, I didn't leave the room. I was still sitting there getting verbally assaulted because I said that. And I was just laughing. Because I sent in my own little salvo.
They need to patch that shit up.
Yeah, they kind of should.
I just, what makes me mad is just the whole, like, you know, oh, video games are this and that, and like, it has nothing to do with just Wii Fit, but it's like, oh yeah, you know, they should carry, you know, a warning label on Grand Theft Auto if your kid's a fucking sociopath. What? You know? Oh, but they should carry a warning. No.
They need to carry a warning label on your kid.
It's like, I do think that Nintendo should patch that shit up and be like, and like, in the game when it talks about the BMI, should say, this is what it does. It doesn't necessarily mean this or that or anything like that. But I don't know. It's just like, oh, people are sheltering. Oh, it's calling your kids fat. Like I said last week, fucking kids in school are going to be much more cruel than this game is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking call you names. You know, kids in school are going to fucking beat you up and take your lunch money. Grand Theft Auto is not going to beat you up and take your lunch money.
Right.
I don't try. But...
Or rape
and
you.
And kids have
then,
been doing that
you know.
Since before these games.
But and I understand the concern here, but it's just, again, it's like, I understand the concern that, you know, some kids shouldn't be playing Mortal Kombat or some kids shouldn't be playing this. And I understand the concern that if kids are playing Guitar Hero and not practicing the real guitar, I understand that. But it's not, don't throw shit at video games and just blah, 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 you know. Video games are calling my kids fat. Now, if you got an eating disorder, that kind of sucks because I think he mentions in this article about the eating disorder, and that's a good point.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna be an asshole and say, well, you shouldn't be playing it. But it's like it kind of goes without saying that like I would guard if my kid had an eating disorder, I would guard them against Wii Fit because I don't want them to because it's different when you have a disorder.
You don't want them to be influenced.
Yeah. Right. There's a difference between a kid getting called fat in school and then like a kid with like a serious eating disorder getting, you know, made fun of for it because then that takes it's not good either way. It's going to happen. But you know, if a kid has a eating disorder, they're more predisposed to being influenced by things that they should not be influenced by.
I think there should also be like a little disclaimer that pops up when you first weigh yourself in and put in your information that if something does not seem, you know, correct about what your me turns out like, re-enter your information or something along those lines.
Well, they say that you can't trick it because of the sensors that detect, like, minute movements and stuff like that.
Yeah. Hmm.
My whole thing was when I heard them talk about the warning, it sounded like they were just like, oh, you know, you gotta warn your kids that this calls you fat. And I'm like, well...
Like, it should be a label on the box or something. You may be called fat while playing this game.
I mean, they should definitely include something in the instruction manual or, like, the game itself to say that BMI is... The way that BMI works is da-da-da-da-da. But calls your kid fat, okay. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm fat.
Warning, we will call your kid fat, and we won't care about it.
Because we are a computer game.
That's it.
That said, though, that's still fucked up because this girl isn't fat.
Nah,
all right, moving on. And this is kind of interesting. Microsoft is axing underperforming XBLA titles. So anything that doesn't sell well, they're taking it offline just like they would take it off the shelves. And what I'm wondering is, I apologize for being ignorant about how the process works, but I feel like I don't know how much server space is taking up, how much bandwidth is being dedicated to this game. Because, you know, I have the feeling that if it's kind of sitting there on the internet, not getting any play, let's say a game like Asteroids or something. I think Asteroids was one of the games they named as being taken down, Asteroids Deluxe.
All right.
How many megabytes is that? And, like, is it really worth, you know...
Abandoning the people that really want to pick it up?
Yeah, and, like, the whole concept of the long tail in, you know, in the gaming business is just... You leave it up there and you let people start to grab it if it's good. It's like those games that don't sell well on day one, but have a cult following and see, and still sell and sell and sell and sell and sell. Like we play. But I don't know. Maybe they've done some studies to say it's just not worth it keeping Asteroids Deluxe on there because it's that bad.
Right. Or like the new, I can't remember the name of the game, Tanks or whatever.
Oh. But I don't know. Like. As someone who knows more about development than I do, Al, like, would you be able to assume any you know, make any assumptions based on, like, how people would store digitally distributed games. Like, is it worth them, you know, freeing 30 megabytes of space to maybe make an extra kind of, like, $5 per cell? Because I'm sure that some people out there still might want to play those games, because a lot of people buy WePlay.
I don't know what to think of this. I don't know if they're doing it for... Well, I'm going to check out if there's any information in an article that I don't know of, but right now, the only thing I can think of is that they're doing it to make their service look better.
That's a very good point. You're right. As opposed to,
you know, saving space and whatnot. They don't want to be associated with games that don't sell. They want to be able to say, okay, well, our Xbox Live games sell like hotcakes,
right.
or whatever.
No, that's
while the
a,
service,
that,
while
that's
the
a
service
very good
has
point.
Had a lot of success and now boasts over 130 titles, we think it is time to continue our focus on quality over quantity.
That's a good point.
Which, while I agree with, all you can do is stop releasing these terrible, terrible games instead of releasing them and then taking them out.
Though I think they kind of want to, like, say, hey, guess what? Let's kick out the ones that suck because we made that mistake already. So I don't know. I still think they should be kind of kept in, like, a repository somewhere for people to get. Like, let's say we're talking about Yahtzee, or we're talking about, like, Penny Arcade, or the Angry Video Game Nerd or Sean Baby, who want to review complete shit games. They should, like, keep it hidden away in a little repository where people can still get to it, you know?
it's that back alley. Yeah. Yo, you want some shit games?
Yo, I got some good shit games. But, yes, I'm gonna poorly segue into this one. Oh, from shit games to good games! Dragon Quest Trilogy confirmed for the United States. And what this means is the DS remakes, based off of the PlayStation 1 remakes that never came out here, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's 4, 5, and 6.
Right. So this is from IGN, this is from Damon Hatfield. May 21st today, Square Enix confirmed that the Zenithia trilogy, Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6, remade for the Nintendo DS, will be making its way from Japan to North America. Dragon Quest 4, Chapters of the Chosen, will kick off the party on September 16th. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. This year. I didn't even realize that. The publisher also revealed the subtitles for parts 5 and 6. Hand of the Heavenly Bride and Realms of Reverie, respectively. You know what I'd like to see? If only to keep the PS2 alive just for a little bit more. I want to see him pack all 7 into one disc. Or into one package.
DVD. Yeah, I think it would be possible because of DVD. Because the first 3 are just Nintendo games.
Right.
If they don't remake them, they're just a drop in the bucket.
That's what I mean. They want to, you know, maybe they include the original version, but maybe it's not worth enough time to remake them. I don't know.
Probably not, and it probably wouldn't want to do it because they make more money out of it. It's not like Ark the Lad, where Ark the Lad came in like 5-6 CDs. You know, they gave you the entire collection over all like 7 games or something like that, and. You know, they would do that because basically Working Designs did that, and now they're not around anymore. But it doesn't have that much longevity as like Dragon Quest, where they could theoretically redo Dragon Quest for the DS, the first one, and give it to you. Well, they probably wouldn't give you that one. They'd probably give you like the first 2 or the first 3 and remake them all for DS. Or they would just remake them for like Game Boy Advance quality graphics and put it in one package. So then odds are they'll probably just give you Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3, 3 separate games, and make you pay $40 for each of them.
Especially if we're talking about Nintendo. Oh, let's put them on GBA. GBA. Let's put them on GBA and sell them for $34.99. Oh, wait, this is Square Enix. $39.99. But, all right, here we go. Here we go to the do not want section. Guitar Hero World Tour. Jesus fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
I want the software. I want the create a song feature. I don't want to fucking buy all this new shit. I got Rock Band already. I don't want to buy the new guitar and the new pads and everything. I don't want it. I don't
stupid new guitar.
Want it. So,
and it's $189.
Well, at least they're selling us the game by itself. I just wish that that they would sort this compatibility thing out and let me use my Rock Band guitar.
You know that since the issues between them. I mean, they started
It's not going to happen. I'm just saying that it sucks that it's not going to happen, and therefore I'm not going to buy this drum kit, which looks clumsier, but actually looks better because it has the cymbals and it's more representative of a real drum set. It looks worse but better. If that makes any sense.
If it had that fourth pad on the end, it'd be perfect. But
yeah, and then you could make it compatible. It'd be just fine. And then
tom rolls are just going to be a little clunky on it, I think, because you're going to be hitting the snare and hi hat and a beat, and then all of a sudden you're doing this tom roll, and in your head you're thinking snare, hi hat, and then green, but you're actually hitting toms. It's kind of just a weird thing to do.
And then you've got fucking that Konami game that's coming out with like a drum set with another pad. Come on, now this is ridiculous.
Rock Crapolution.
Yeah. But before I know Al had read about like the features, like 8-player. What talk about that in a second? But I want to address the pricing. Okay, so the band kit, this is from Tor Thorsen at GameSpot, the voice of Nord. Well, finally, the band kit, which will presumably include a guitar, drum kit, microphone, and the game itself. I love Rock Band. Is going for $189.99 on Wii, 360, and PS3. Now, I'm sick of these games coming at premium pricing on Wii just because they can get away with it. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, what's that? Wii doesn't have a hard drive? Oh, yeah, that's right. Wii doesn't have a hard drive. Can't get downloadable fucking content. Get a hard drive already, Nintendo. How stupid are you?
Well, you do know that this is going to have DLC on the Wii, like PS2 and 360. I don't know if that's a precursor or telling that there's going to be a hard drive soon, but they announced that this will be the first game or something like that that has normal DLC on the Wii.
That's good, and I'm glad, but I'm saying again, it's like, how much can you put on what they have now if they don't announce? That's what I'm saying. They better announce this fucking hard drive if they're going to try to sell it for $190.
Yeah,
because then you've got all this shit in there already from your virtual console games. I really hate the way the Wii's memory management is set up. It's really stupid. You can't play stuff off SD cards, and yeah, there's DRM issues that you can fix that. You can fucking fix that. Come on, it's really stupid. And then this though I will say that with downloadable content, it one-ups Rock Band, but doesn't have downloadable content yet. Right. Or Guitar Hero 3, which doesn't have downloadable content yet. Even though it can get on the internet and it has enough room for a patch to say let you calibrate the lag between the sound and the video. Oh, I don't know. Excuse me. Woo. But
I don't know why games have to try to one up each other like this. Pretty fucking lame. I wish Guitar Hero would have stayed, Guitar Hero. I lost track after 3.
Me too.
Basically. Right. I would have personally relaunched a new guitar, which while people might hate that, I would have seriously made it so every single fret on that guitar is a fret that you have to play in the game.
Oh,
and it would be true Guitar Hero.
True. Like, but you know what?
Like, every fret is it's basically about 20 buttons on your controller or whatever.
Yeah. They had a picture of guitars leaning on an amp.
And it looks like they had 10
frets.
And it
had like 10 frets. Yeah. And I was all like, oh my god.
I don't know.
Well,
my whole thing is just that, like, Guitar Hero is for people like me who don't want to pick up and learn real guitar just yet. And to keep it as kind of not noob-friendly, but just, like, as much of a game as possible. And I think that adding 20 frets might be a little bit overboard, but then you can make a super expert mode. So I don't know. Why doesn't someone read off the features from the Wired blog from the next topic for World Tour?
Well,
go, Slunks!
Well, 1 second. Just because the controller that you might have seen, there's a few there are a few Rock Band modified controllers with the solo buttons right next to the
third-party ones, right?
Like the regular buttons. So
yeah,
that might be what you saw, but
maybe. But this was on the Guitar Hero site, though.
Huh.
Yeah, this was a Guitar Hero like teaser pick.
Well then, oh.
What's cool about this is that it looks like you can get rhythm, melody, and bass guitar. So
yeah.
So what are they?
I mean, I'm with you. I'm all for like what the game is gonna be, and it might actually bring me back to Guitar Hero, but I'm just not for spending another fucking $200.
Like I was saying before, I'm not buying it. I don't want to buy more hardware. I just don't want it. I don't want to buy another guitar. I just don't want it, you know. And I certainly don't want the Aerosmith pack, which has nothing to do with this, but I just don't want that.
I kind of also don't want the support that'll come with this game, which will be utter shit, just like any other Guitar Hero. So, yeah.
Downloadable content? What's that? But let's see. Okay, so the features are a slick, newly redesigned... Slunks, why don't you read this since you have to go soon?
Yeah, sure.
It's in the window, so you don't need to...
A slick, newly redesigned guitar. A genuine electronic drum kit. And a microphone. As well as an innovative music studio music creator, which is kind of cool, that lets players compose, record, edit, and share their own rock and roll anthems.
And that's why I want the software for this. That's why I don't want the fucking hardware, but I want the software.
How many lawsuits are Activision going to have?
Hey, I just want to put every fucking Mega Man song in this game and play Mega Man songs and Contra songs and shit. But my whole thing is, what's the microphone not be compatible with Rock Band?
It's just a microphone. Except there's a little bit that says Guitar Hero. Yeah. And if that bit is not Guitar Hero, then do not use.
The drum kit will feature 6 inputs, one more than Rock Band's drum controller, with 2 raised cymbal pads for what Activision calls a more realistic experience. That should make Tony happy, though, because it's like it does look like it emulates the experience better. With Guitar Hero, blah, 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 quotes from Dusty Welch. That's a nice name, Dusty Welch.
Dusty Welch.
Do you have time for this one last thing, or do you have to go?
Yeah, I'll do one last thing, but I wanted to point out really quick, just this might be out of the blue, but the Rock Revolution drum kit?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Did you see a picture of it yet? I haven't seen a picture.
Yes.
All I know is that they say that we're adding even one more pad!
Yes, it is. Okay. Think of, like, one of those tabletop drum sets that you have, a little bit bigger than that. It's basically one big pad on the left-hand side, one big pad on the right-hand side, and then, like, slightly smaller pads that go, like, arc like a rainbow above the top.
Oh.
Can you think of doing a drum roll or something with that? It's just, like, a roll across all the pads. That's not going to work out. Jeff Kurtzman on GiantBomb.com. Plug.
Pick that name up.
Yes, Jeff Kurtzman said that he got a chance to play 2 songs on the drum kit, and it was unbearably clunky.
Ugh.
I think he also mentioned that supposedly, or he's hoping that they have time to
revise it.
Readjust certain things. Yeah, it does not look good because what you see is the straight line of what you're supposed to see or what you're supposed to hit.
Right.
And the bass pedal kind of comes down the middle, just like any other note. And so you're thinking straight. It's not at all. It's kind of... I mean, sometimes I'll get lost on the Rock Band drum set, and that's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be crazy, so I'm not really looking forward to
it. The way
that.
You described it reminds me of the original Street Fighter with the big-ass arcade button that you had to pound instead of the 6 buttons that they use now for Street Fighter.
Right.
So, somebody read Bioshock Surfaces on PS3. Victory for Sony!
Yay. Bioshock on PS3. Yeah.
What the hell was that all about?
End of article.
I don't know. That was just me just looking for the article. So I was buying time. Tom Agrino, GameSpot. Writing has been on the wall for some time that Take-Two would be releasing its award-winning Bioshock on Sony's PlayStation 3. Speculation that 2K Boston/Australia's praised dystopian shooter... Excuse me, let me swallow... based on literary stylings of Ayn Rand would land on
Ayn
both
Rand.
Ayn Rand?
Yeah. I don't want a whole bunch of adjectives to jump down your throat, so it's Ayn Rand.
Oh my god.
I have to swallow that.
Too. I don't want
to
swallow that.
Ew.
land on both current generation consoles was sparked by the game's initial announcement for PCs and next generation consoles. However, tangible evidence didn't come out until the game's launch in August, when a reference to Bioshock on PS3 turned out in demo of the PC game.
If anybody doesn't remember, there was a config file that said something that had like a line for PS3 configuration or something in there. It was really weird. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Possibility of Bioshock zapping PS3s was further fueled in April, when Bioshock 2 developer 2K Marin indicated that it was hiring level designers that had experience developing for Sony's flagship console. Today, confirmation of the game's PS3 debut has finally arrived by way of a cover of July issue of UK-based gaming magazine PSM3.
It says, proof of why Xbox best shooter is better on PS3, indicating that some content additions will be made. which is good. I was going to say that they should have just fucking put it on PS3 for PS3 owners earlier, but if they're going to put additional shit, I guess that, does it make it like Oblivion? I forget if Oblivion gave you the packs for free on PS3.
They had a game where they just had a game of the year
right,
version.
That had all that stuff in there, right?
Right.
Well, that's good. I mean, I guess that's better for the PS3 owners now that they had to wait for it, but now they have better shit. So I wonder, though, if that stuff is going to make it to PC.
I don't know.
The only updates to the Xbox 360 and PC versions of the game were new gene therapy-induced plasma powers and blah, da, 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 da.
A lot of the console to PC games have actually been doing a pretty good job. You have Gears of War, which basically is an entirely different game. Mass Effect, which is going to have all these, you know, additions to the gameplay.
All the quality ones, I'll say.
Yeah. Like, I'm not talking about Guitar Hero or anything, because Guitar Hero on the PC is terrible.
Oh, thanks, Aspire.
Yes.
But, anyway. I really like the job. Never mind the fact that Games for Windows implementation is shit, but the game itself for Gears of War, it's a really good conversion. I like it a lot. So if anybody wants to buy my Gears of War Special Edition for $360 off my hands, you know, feel free. Let me know, because I don't need that anymore.
Craigslist.
You got to get to work, don't you?
I got to get ready to get to work soon.
Ah, fuck yeah.
Well, kind of, so I guess I'll be jumping out of here.
Thank you for joining us, Crunks.
No problem. I was hoping Tony could jump in and be all cool and be like, Slunk's turning into Tony, but didn't quite happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Anyway. Thank you guys very much. I'll see you guys next week.
Have a good day, fucking bitches.
Peace
at work.
Out,
next one. This one's great. Penny Arcade banner ads feature Game Life's own troll, that is. Yes, congratulations to DDF. Your tireless efforts in every single Penny Arcade related comments thread has not gone unnoticed by the fine men and women at the company. And your quotes are now being used to sell their game.
Awesome.
That's fucking hilarious. Only Penny Arcade can think of something like that. Let's see. So the ad has, there are two ads. The first ad has a picture of Gabe and Tycho in combat with the fruit fucker behind them. It says, "On the rain slick precipice of darkness, episode 1, available now." And the quote the quote on the ad is, instead of like a amazing or fantastic, it says, "Penny Arcade sucks, is it unfunny? Please murder Penny Arcade and then yourself if you disagree with me." The second one just has Gabe raising his fist and the quotes, "This game sucks, and anyone who likes it sucks. Penny Arcade sucks, and is funny as some, and is as funny that's not fun. What the fuck?
It's as funny as something that's not funny at all."
Let me read that again. "Penny Arcade sucks, and is as funny as something that's not funny at all." The fact that they're turning this shit around on him is great. Let me see if DDF is posting in this thing. Okay. DDF does post in this blog entry. "Zach is right, but not his last sentence. None are good, not even one." That's what he says, and he's referencing this post that says, "Maybe this guy isn't a troll. I mean, sometimes people can sincerely dislike something that the rest of the internet finds hilarious. Twitter shitter was their only funny strip in the decade." And so that's why DDF says, "Zach is right, but not his last sentence. None are good." So he doesn't even like Twitter shitter. Wow, he is a troll. Anyway, here's something cool that I wish would have come out. It says, "Viva Pinata for DS and 360 connectivity functional, but scrapped." Developers working on the Xbox 360's upcoming Viva Pinata Trouble in Paradise actually created technology capable of linking the 360 game with the Nintendo DS's soon-to-be-released Viva Pinata title. Wow.
Weird.
See, it's
cross-platform right there.
That would have been really cool. I mean, it's funny, a long time ago when I saw like one of the Oddworld games crop up on GBA, and it's kind of like, wait a second, isn't that a Microsoft Games property, or wasn't it public? And then it made its way to Game Boy, to the original Game Boy, not Game Boy Advance. But I was like, okay, that's weird. Okay, it says, "We got it to work, but it was too late in the development cycle. It's one of those things where you just kick yourself." I can't and Ernest Cavalli, who wrote the blog post, said, "I can't imagine where the connectivity features would have sprung from that unholy marriage. Would have been all that compelling. Inter-console connectivity rarely is, but it still would have been a nice option if only so gamers could experience the risque of joy of linking a Nintendo handheld to a Microsoft console."
Talk about taboo.
You know, now that my curiosity just gets the best of me, I really want to see what Microsoft could do in the portable space. I'm just curious to see what they would do with their online network, because right now the Nintendo DS is online, even though it's better than Wii. I don't know. You know, PSP is probably a little better, but I haven't taken it online that much. Okay. So I've only a few instances where I maybe have to review games. So I don't know overall how the experience is. I'm assuming it's a little bit better, but like I would assume that Microsoft, who has experience in this space, could be like, you know, okay, well, we'll offer a wired connection as well. That's what I'd like, because my DS doesn't like my wireless right now, so every time I have to review a game that requires wireless, I have to go to the fucking McDonald's. So, I don't know. That's just pipe dreams. Anyway, have any comments on this? What would you like to see if they happen to have this type of weird bastard child of connectivity?
I don't know. I haven't even thought of that. I would need to sit in a dungeon for a while and ponder.
Sit in a dungeon?
Yeah.
All right, skipping the next one, going to Inagaki. God damn, Inagaki's talking a lot of shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So this first one, it says, and this actually happened later than the other one. Inagaki not impressed with Devil May Cry, and this is from Kotaku's Brian Ashcraft, and Inagaki says, I think Kamiya-san makes good games. However, I think the systems, the gameplay elements in this game, tend to be rather shallow, and he makes up with that through stylish presentation. I think if you were to compare them directly to the combat and other gameplay elements in Ninja Gaiden 2, are much deeper than projects that he works on. In my game, it's all based on a back and forth to the enemies. It's very interactive. You feel like you're being pushed to the brink, but you manage to survive. The enemies are as out to get you as you are to get them. Whereas other types of action games, one of which being Devil May Cry, enemies exist there as objects on which you unleash your attacks. That is not true. That is not true. Not with the original Devil May Cry, at least. I have not played 4. I have not played 3. But that's not fucking true. He should be talking about God of War, not Devil May Cry. I mean, okay, you've beaten the game. What is your estimation on that comment there?
Well, the puppets kind of are, except for the ones that... I mean, there's some back and forth with the ones that shoot the fire, because like if you hit them, sometimes they'll block and they shoot fire and you have to dodge it.
Right.
But the other ones are really there to just really rack up points and fuck up shit. Like, if you're really good at it, then they really are just pawns. I'm trying to think of any other enemies in the game. There's the lizards, and the lizards can really be bitches sometimes too.
Well, in my estimation, right now I'm up to the part where you have to take the brain to get the chalice. I don't know how far. Am I like one third through? Am I like a quarter through? Halfway through?
Do you know what mission number it is?
I'm not entirely sure.
Is it like between 10 and 15?
I don't know if it's 10 yet. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it's basically the brain that you take, and you put in a little cup, and it gives you the chalice. And then after you get that chalice, like this guy with the horns comes after you again. Anyway,
the guy with the... I don't really remember anymore.
I haven't seen a puppet for like hours. All the enemies that I've faced have been at very least worthy of a challenge, if not as hard as Ninja Gaiden. But they're still...
Are they the ghosts that float around and shit?
They're the ghosts that float around. They're the lizard guys. They're the fucking, what did I just fight before? Do you remember that whole section where, like, you had to follow the light between the fortress? The enemies there, those were tough, you know? So I can't agree with him on this, for the most part.
Yeah, because there are some enemies in that game that are really tough. Like, the lizards are tough, but once you get strong enough, they're bitches. And... then there's, like, at the end,
but that's how it should be.
The nobodies.
You get stronger, you should be able to own bitches, you know? And that's how it is. And I don't think that just because what Itagaki's saying is, oh, we do it back and forth, that doesn't make it that much, you know? I love Ninja Gaiden, and I like it better than Devil May Cry, but I don't think that Devil May Cry is a pussy.
He's talking about Ninja Gaiden 2, which we haven't seen
yet, though. Okay, fine.
So,
but Ninja Gaiden, what he's describing about Gaiden 2 in terms of the back and forth, it happens in 1, too.
Oh, it does.
That's what I'm saying. Like, 1, like... the whole thing is that from like the first or second screen, if you're not careful, that first ninja could fucking kill you, even though he's a peon. And I agree that that's not the same case with Devil May Cry, but Devil May Cry is plenty hard, is my whole point. You know, he's sitting there going, oh, nothing can match the Ninja Gaiden, which I think is bullshit. You know, it's funny that he talks shit like this, but I think it's bullshit, you know. If he's gonna if he's gonna sit there and talk shit about my game is just better, yeah, I think it is, but it's not better because Devil May Cry is not hard and not involved and things are there just for you to hit. You know, that's not the case. But anyway, I mean, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's his opinion.
Yeah, and it's wrong. No. But then then he goes on and becomes a complete asshole and loses total cool points for me because he starts to rag on Ninja Gaiden Sigma. This is an interview with Computer and Video Games, right? Computer Video Games?
Yeah.
CVG. So he says, "What did you?" So the interviewer says, "What did you think of the PS3 game Ninja Gaiden Sigma? I'm told you won't even sign copies of the game." Itagaki says, "It was no good." The guy says, "Why is that? I thought it was pretty good." And he says, "All you need to do is play Ninja Gaiden 2 and then try and play Sigma afterwards and you'll see why." Despite the fact... Go ahead.
Keep going. No, I'm finishing and I'll say it.
Despite the fact that it's on a next-generation console, there's no evolution whatsoever. That was not made by me, but by one of my subordinates who basically tried to copy on the success of Ninja Gaiden. All right, you say what you're going to say first, and I'll say this.
Okay, he's comparing Ninja Gaiden 2 to Ninja Gaiden Sigma for the sole purpose of the fact that they're on next-gen consoles, and I understand where he's coming from, because you're porting an Xbox game to PS3, and he's ragging on it because it's a port. It's not like a whole new game, like how Ninja Gaiden 2, if it's actually that many leagues beyond the Xbox game, then he might have a point with saying, you know, if you play Ninja Gaiden 2 and then you play Ninja Gaiden Sigma, you're going to say, well, what the hell happened with the PS3 that it can't do what Ninja Gaiden 2 is doing?
But my
you know where I'm coming from?
I do, but I still think that's bullshit. That's a bullshit comparison. That's like saying, oh, you know, fucking, if you were to release, let's say, I'm trying to think of a hypothetical. Let's say you put Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on the Dreamcast, right? Because you want to port it up. Let people play that game on the Dreamcast. And then you put out Street Fighter 3, and the Street Fighter 3 director said Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Turbo for Dreamcast was a piece of shit. Because if you try to play Street Fighter 3 now, and you go, fuck that. Ninja Gaiden Sigma is still a good game no matter what console is on. A good game is a good game is a good game. And he's basically saying it wasn't good. And then he's going a step further, and he's spouting disrespectful shit at the guy that he's been mentoring, who I think is a really nice guy. I met him. He's a nice guy, and he made a great game in Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so he's porting it. So what? He's trying to give this game to fans of the original game or to would-be fans who didn't get a chance to play it on the Xbox because they don't own Xboxes. They own PS3s. And at the same time, he's trying to give them extra content. He made no bones about it being a sequel. All he wanted to do was give those fans a great game to pass the time until Ninja Gaiden 2. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see why that makes it a no-good game. That's my whole thing.
And then there's also the angle that Itagaki's just an Xbox fanboy.
Yeah, he probably is. You know?
No, he is, because he's always ragging on the PS3. He said Ninja Gaiden 2 will never be on PS3 because PS3 is just not worthy of
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. It says if it ever did, that would be a loss of face for everyone involved.
Yeah, a loss of face for everyone involved.
That's shit, man. I mean, it's funny. But it's shit. I mean, like...
It is shit. I mean, but that's... You know, if he's a 360 fanboy, he's a 360 fanboy. I'm like, goddamn. You don't have to push it out like that. So bold. Dude, motherfucker's losing face because they're going to port a game to PS3.
He's losing face because he's talking shit like this, in my opinion. But the funny thing is, I bet if you... You know, if you figured out the PS3, and I'm not saying because I think the PS3 is necessarily more powerful, but if you took advantage of what the PS3 could do, I'm sure you could like come up with a great Ninja Gaiden game. You know, if anybody can figure, here's why where I'm going. If anybody can figure out something fun to do with the six axis in a Ninja Gaiden game, it's Itagaki. I'm not gonna take away design points for him just because he's an asshole. He can fucking design games. You know, so if he decided to do it, I'm sure he could figure out something awesome to do with that six axis. I'm sorry, he just doesn't want to because he's a fanboy, you know?
Yeah.
But okay, enough ragging on Itagaki, ragging on other shit. here's me ragging on Metal Gear Solid 4. Now, this is rumored, okay? This is rumored from Computer Video Games, and GamePro says it begs to differ. But apparently, Metal Gear Solid 4 has 90-minute cutscenes.
Damn, that's like in-your-face Xenogears.
Do not want. Won't buy this game next. No, I'm kidding. I'll wait to verify that if it's actually true. If it actually does have 90-minute cutscenes, that's not going to that's not going to stop me from buying it, because I'm sure there'll be days where it's like, I don't want to play video games. I just want to watch a movie. And therefore, I'll get up to that point and save it, save the game there. And then if I'm just like, oh, I feel like watching a movie, I'll pop the disc in, watch it for 90 minutes, and pop it out and go watch something else. But if I want to have a fluid game experience, that would anger me. If it really, I'm serious. It would anger me because, like,
I know
there,
I'm listening.
Sitting there, it's like Twin Snakes for GameCube already. It's like I'm sitting there and he's doing Matrix shit, and while they look cool, he's doing it over and over again. Oh, so look at Solid Snake. He's flipping over this gunfire, and oh, he's, you know, hiding behind this shit, and oh, look, it's Gray Fox, and oh, it's the ninja. They're doing all this crazy shit. Can I please play the game that I bought now, please? And that's not even the worst offender. I'm just exaggerating here. 90 minutes?
I'm going to read this CVG article here while you're saying.
Here's the good part. You can pause them and you can skip them. So that you know, that is why I'm not going to avoid buying the game, because at least I can skip them if I wanted to.
Yeah, imagine if it was like a... Right. I mean, this is probably not going to happen, but imagine if you had a 90-minute cutscene before a boss fight.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But you know what?
And
you
die on the boss.
If you could save at every cutscene, and you could...
After every cutscene?
After or before, whatever. Or at the very least, you could watch them later. Like, if you skip it, then you can go back and watch it later for the people who do want to watch it, but don't want to watch it during gameplay, you know? That would be cool. I want games to start doing stuff like that. Skipping cutscenes, letting you watch them later, giving you journals of what you're... Like Oblivion does with the whole fucking journal. It charts every single quest that you have. It's like for someone like me who's like who has such bad ADD, when I come back to a game a year later, oh, that's where I was. You don't know how annoying playing through Metroid Prime and Phoenix Wright were when, like, I had huge gaps. It's like, what was I... What, huh?
What was I doing? Let me go back to the beginning.
Yeah. But well, what were you going to say about this? I'm sorry.
There's a line here in the article from CVG that says, "We were expecting long story sequences. Metal Gear Solid 2 approached the 45-minute mark in 1. But an hour and a half of cinematics was unexpected."
Shit. Man, 45 minutes already is too... Oh, God. And then Okami has a 20-minute cutscene in the beginning, they say. You know what? I don't know if it was 20 minutes, or I don't know if it wasn't the cutscene that they were talking about. It didn't seem like 20 minutes. And on the Wii version, you can skip it. So, you can't skip it on the PS2 version. You can skip it on the Wii version. But,
Oh, okay.
Well, now, I include... go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was also going to mention this other line that says, "Metal Gear Solid 4 story is massive. The video game equivalent of all three Godfather movies on one disc."
Holy
says,
shit.
All this news is coming from PSW Magazine, who apparently played and finished Metal Gear Solid 4, and that's where all this information is coming from.
There's a whole cadre of journalists that were flown over to Japan to play an early completed build of the game. And then to offer their feedback on what needs to be changed before they actually release it for real. So, like, a whole bunch of people, like, people from 1UP and GameSpot and like you said, those guys from GamePro and CVG. And who else did you just read that quote from?
PSW,
you know, they were...
Well, this is... CVG got the information from PSW.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I mean, like, they basically flew a whole bunch of... And apparently that was unprecedented. Like, no one's ever had a final game before. Or a very, very near final game before, and flown journalists over to preview and critique it, but not review it.
Right.
So now they're going to take their advice. And, you know, and there was this whole big controversy of, well, like, you know, doesn't that influence the review score and whatnot? As long as they have different people on the review, I don't think so. But, I mean, I actually kind of like the fact that this indicates that, hey, maybe companies are starting to listen to the critics and starting to listen to what... you know, what problems some games might have before releasing them. So, I don't know. But anyway, that's a tangent. I'm sorry.
I just want to put in the last final two paragraphs about this from the article.
Sure.
It says, "As you'd expect, you'll spend a lot of time watching cutscenes. So if you found previous game story exposition laborious, then you better find yourself a nice cushion, plenty of teabags, and readiness for Metal Gear Solid 4's.
Teabags.
Yeah. And then he goes, "They can be skipped, but you'll be missing out on some of the finely crafted examples of FMV footage anywhere in gaming," the article boldly proclaims.
I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, they got some really good directors there, so I mean, I wouldn't doubt that. Should we move on to this fucking...
Yeah, let's move on.
Again, there's really no way to segue this, so...
Nope. Wait. Okay. I bought Age of Conan yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I installed it yesterday and today, and I put in my code, and I started, and I made a big titty girl. Segway.
Into...
Horlore incites the rage of Bonan.
Okay, so the rage of Bonan, which is a play on Conan, obviously, and the, what is it, the studio or the or something? Creators of Horlore.
Yeah.
Formerly of World of Warcraft. Have jumped into the Hyborian Age as well with Rage of Bonan. Rage of Bonan actually recreates the very first quest in the game, which involves rescuing a bound, scantily dressed woman by killing a nearby enemy for the key to her shackles. Granted, the woman in the game was a blonde, and it doesn't actually end with a sex scene, though I'm sure it did in the minds of many of the males and not a few of the females who played through it. So yeah, I just the fact that they called it Rage of Bonan was funny enough for me to fucking, you know. And this girl needs Wii Fit. But in sadder news.
Fatter
Game
news?
Game Life... Sadder. Not fatter, but sadder.
Sorry.
Game Life East closes its doors. Now, Game Life is part of the Wired blog network, which is part of Wired magazine. And they had an Eastern correspondent where their main offices, I believe, are on the West Coast. So why is this sad? Because this means it's the last day for our favorite Game Life poster.
No.
Want to
no,
say it?
No, Susan.
Susan.
Bye.
It is my sad duty to inform you that Game Life East will be shutting its doors effective immediately, as this is my final day as part of the Game Life team. I originally wanted to write something terribly witty and wry for my goodbye post, something smart with a hint of insouciance. I have no idea how to pronounce that word. And perhaps a dash of sass. As hard as I tried to put the words together, it never really said what I wanted to say, so I just keep it simple instead. Hope you don't mind. I truly feel very fortunate to have been able to spend the past year and a quarter as part of this team. I learned a lot, gained a new appreciation for good night's sleep, and was reminded nearly daily of why video games and the people who make and play them are so damn awesome. My fellow Game Lifers aren't just incredibly knowledgeable, talented writers, they're also really great people. If it weren't for Chris Kohler, I might have never tried Professor Layton. If it weren't for Ernest Cavalli, I would have never had that conviction in Nevada. That's a tale for another time, however. I also wanted to thank you, the readers, for choosing to spend some of your day here in our little corner of the interweb. If it weren't for you, we'd be like saying, oh, hi, and making jokes about Pokemans to random passersby. And they tend to look at us funny when we do that. I'll still be in gaming. I'm not allowed to say where yet, so you'll be able to track me down should you want to. Thanks, everyone. It's been great. Now go play Psychonauts, damn it. I can tell you where you can find Susan. I think she is on this site called, and this is, I hope this is not confidential. She can't be confidential because her profile's on the fucking site. And I don't think this is where she's going from here, but I think she freelances for the site. It's also a site that Alex Navarro was freelancing for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's either Crispy Gamer or Rip 10. It's one of those two because I saw her picture on the site. Let's see. Susan Arendititi. Susan Arendititi writes for Crispy Gamer. She reviewed Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles for Crispy Gamer. So you can find her reviews there. Huh?
It's crispy.
It's crispy. So, yes, we will be regretful that we cannot say your name on this podcast anymore from Game Life, but hopefully we can find you elsewhere. This is our salute to you. I'm going to say Susan Arendt three times. You can feel free to join me or not. Susan Arendt. Susan Arendt. Susan Arendt. We'll miss you, lady, but hopefully we'll see you pop up elsewhere in the gaming sphere. Adieu. And with that, let's move on to the testicle bag.
So another note for the ball haters here out in the web. I don't know what I take away from you, but in a way, I get like so many hate emails and everything, and you think like they are like, I take money away from you. But it's you. You are on your own responsible that you don't make movies. It's not my problem, and it's not my money what you would get to make your own movies if you get me out of the business. I don't even know why you get off on me like crazy, because I'm not in the Hollywood system. I'm the opposite, basically. And maybe this is the reason that you all hate me so much, because I proved that you can do it outside of the system, and you don't can come up with the cheap excuses you have why you never make it, why you're not able to make more as your mini DV videos at home with ketchup and your little brother. So I think you should really wake up at one point, and you should put your jealous situation away. And if you write me, don't write me with some like bullshit nicknames out of the internet. Write me with your name and address so that I can track you down and rip you apart. Thank you.
All right. This guy has great timing. He talks about the Wii Fit thing. And is actually saying the same shit about the what's it called? The eating disorders and all that shit. So he says, just wondering if the further details in the story about the Wii Fit calling a young girl fat had changed your opinion at all. Since it appears to me by her picture that she is not fat, those, like yourselves, that immediately assumed... Now, first of all, we never assumed that, so you can go suck a dick. But anyways, that immediately assumed she does...
She was.
Let me read this again. I'm sorry. Since it appears to me by her picture that she is not fat, those that immediately assume that she was don't have an excuse to make for Nintendo anymore. We weren't making any excuses for Nintendo. But yeah. Okay. Sure, the idea of developing body issues because of video games seems pretty stupid, but what eating disorders do to young girls is horrible, and we need to take it seriously as a society regardless of whatever or not we think girls should know better. I agree. The families of the girls that starve themselves to death should certainly take it seriously. Now, here's where I have even more of an issue with this guy, okay? Shifty Pete, I know you guys are Nintendo fans and such will feel inclined to excuse many of the glaring mistakes Nintendo makes. Dude, do you listen to our fucking podcast? Do you listen to how much I rag on Reggie Fils-Aimé for the stupid shit he says? Do you listen to how much I rag on the fact that they don't have a fucking hard drive and they probably never will, which is an assumption that I'm making, but that's stupid. I mean,
it's always a possibility.
You know, in order to not make this like a completely personal thing with Shifty Pete, like I've interacted with him on GameSpot and he has a lot of smart things to say. This isn't, I'm making excuses for video games as a whole. My big problem is that they're saying, we should put a warning on this game because it's telling girls are fat. To me, that's the same thing as, again, I said it before and I'll say it again. It's like people saying, you shouldn't sell Grand Theft Auto to sociopaths, and you shouldn't sell to unstable teenagers. No fucking shit.
Right.
Okay? It's not about Nintendo, who makes plenty of mistakes, and the fact that they don't have all the shit, and the fact that their friend codes are shit. I'll maintain that till the day I die. It doesn't have anything to do with them. No, I don't excuse the fact that they misinterpret the BMI like that. That's some light that was shed onto me by the article that we talked about. That like this not fat girl was fat. And that probably if I stepped on this thing, I'd be marked as skinny when I'm clearly not skinny. don't call us Nintendo fanboys just because, this happens to be a Nintendo product. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we never assumed that the person was actually fat. We were fucking making jokes about it. That's what we do. And I know probably the part where Al goes, because you're fucking fat, was, the assumption there. Listen to how we, poke fun at every single thing on this podcast, okay? We've done it for issues before. Somebody even complained about Slunks talking about, like, you should use a knife and not a game controller to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. I didn't read that out on air because I think he was just being a little prissy about it. Okay, don't take this shit so seriously, first of all.
Laugh, goddammit.
We're going to call... Well, it's not necessarily just that, but we're going to call someone fat. That doesn't mean that the person in the article was fat. And that's not to say that we're going to assume the person in the article was fat. If I was going to say that the person in the article was fat, I'd come out and say, yeah, this kid is probably upset that she really is fat and this game is telling her that she's fat. Okay? You know what? I'm going to say it again from last week. Kids in school are fucking cruel as shit. Mm-hmm. They beat up people. They take your lunch money. So, Equal attention has to be applied towards disciplinary institutions as well. So if you're going to fucking say, video games are calling my kids fat, video games are, Mortal Kombat made me kill my girlfriend's sister. Go teabag a fucking, what's an angry monster that will eat your balls? A Morlock?
Yeah, why not?
Go teabag the Brumac.
The Brumac.
Well, And like that girl, if she's not fat, and the game's calling her fat, that's fucked up. I agree. That's completely fucked up. But she knows she's not fat, which is
and
not
she
to say
have
that...
The independence of mind to know that, but it is, yeah, sorry, it is fucked up that it's telling you you're fat, but be
like,
smart.
Like I said, I think that Nintendo should probably patch that shit. But, oh, wait, they don't have a hard drive. So if you... There I go again.
Well, they patch certain games.
I know. I'm just fucking pissed at the... they patch it because they reserve some memory solely for like the firmware. Mm-hmm. So if anything, they probably replace it. But right. I'm not gonna get off this hard drive shit soon. Do you hear me, Fizume? Get a hard drive, please.
Well, you know what? I have the solution to this Wii Fit thing and all this this Wii Fit calling kids fat. Make it M-rated. Now you can't sell it to minors, and you won't have this problem anymore.
Oh, I skipped over a story in the news that kind of relates to this, but Microsoft is upping the limit for downloadable arcade games to 350 megs.
Yep.
Effectively making it making gamers unable to get the game on their memory cards.
No, didn't they make new memory cards?
Unless they make a new memory. I know they had a 256, but I guess they have 512 now. I don't know.
Yeah, they
but
have
in any case,
now.
You know, Microsoft, if you had also had a standard hard drive in your machine in the first place, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But oh no, you wanted the core system for gamers. That's the one thing that I like Sony for, is that the fact that they made the hard drive mandatory.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm glad.
Hmm? But then they completely like dropped the ball on backwards compatibility.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, like, if anything, you know, I think that the Xbox in the previous generation should have been the model that kept on going.
That's
you
true.
You have some standard memory in there. And, you know, if there's anything right that Sony did, and I think, again, this is going to be their year. I'm not bashing on Sony. I'm just saying that there's a lot of things that were questionable, like anybody else that they did. If there's one thing they did right, is they have a fucking standard hard drive.
Yeah.
Make that shit standard.
Because that way now everything has a method of storage, and you don't have to have games gimped
because
the possibility that you can't sell it to certain people.
Because now you got a hard drive for everybody who owns a PlayStation. Now you have Rumble back with the 6-axis, okay?
Yay, innovation. And... I mean, wait, what was the group, the company that...
Immersive.
Immersive, yeah. Yay, Immersive.
Yeah. And, like, all the wrongs that were... Like, the only thing that they need now is their library to come back, you know? And I'm sure that's going to happen in 08. They're getting BioShock now, goddammit, you know?
Yeah, sure.
They're still kind of expensive for my taste, but they have a $400 option. So, hey, 360, what are you going to do? Are you going to abandon... Like, I think they should really just, at some point, abandon the non-hard drive SKU. Put out a cheaper hard drive. Put out a 10-gigabyte hard drive if you have to. Okay?
but they can't, because when you get a 20-gig, you only get 10 gigs out of it.
That's true, but they got to do something. And it's like, why does a 20-gig cost $100 anyway when you can get your PS3 and get a laptop hard drive for the same price that holds twice or three times or four times as much, and just install it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yo, you can't install a hard drive on the 360,
but you can on the Wii. Oh, wait, no, you can't. Okay, I'm going to get off that dead horse. I've been beating this fucking dead horse for weeks.
This motherfucking horse is a corpse. It's like it got worms coming out of it and everything, man.
As soon as they get a hard drive for Wii, I'll bury the horse. But here...
I don't think there'll be much to bury. Okay, it'd be like a head.
Yeah. And this is totally unrelated to Wii Fat. I'm sorry. But we're moving on to Gideon's mail. He says, I find it hard to believe you guys haven't seen all of Uwe's movies already. I thought it was our responsibility as video game enthusiasts to watch each and every video game movie released until the end of time. I'm sorry. You're right, Gideon. I apologize. I strangle myself in your presence. You guys don't feel that small tug of curiosity whenever one of these disasters come out? I do. I will admit, I do.
I couldn't watch Alone in the Dark past like 15 minutes.
Well, that you satisfy that curiosity. I have not yet.
Oh no, that wasn't even satisfying. I really want to see the whole movie, but it's just I don't know. There's something about it that makes me want to go. There's something better on.
Because there is something better on. He says, in any case, if you should ever get the hankering to watch anything ever released in the video game to movie category, I have everything on DVD.
Oh, we having a party. Gideon's bringing the shit.
Gideon, we're having a fucking party. You bring that shit over and don't, like, fucking bail on us like you did last time, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because then we can't have a party.
Yeah.
This is going to be the DVD watching party.
Yeah. But I don't think I would give up Blood Rain 2. I cannot subject anyone to that monstrosity ever again.
Oh, no. We're going to watch that shit. We're going to have
watch that
buckets
shit.
So
straight,
we can throw up in
straight
them.
Straight the fucking DVD.
Yeah, man.
But okay, I think that's it for the mail. Let me see if there's anything more. Nope, no, nothing more in the mail. So we will clean some house. Let's get the plugs out of the way first. Slunks works for it. TalkXbox.com. Go watch him write shitty reviews. Just kidding, Slunks. Go listen. Go watch I'm sorry. Go read Brian Fishman's stuff. He's one of our contributors. You can reach him at drfishypants.com. The doctor, doctor is spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R, fishypants.com.
Doctor.
Doctorb, the extra B doctor. Is for bargain. And go to gameslaves.net. Again, they the 50th episode, which we were on. Riven is hard at work, so let me check real quickly. I've been busy, so I haven't been able to check on the podcasts, but I think he's still at 50. If you didn't listen to the last episode, listen to it, please. They are trying to, you know, they're trying to move in a more concentrated direction. So if you have any ideas, they suggested something like, let's become a Steam-oriented site. Let's become a Warhammer-oriented site with some content. So if you have any ideas for them, please send them some love. And review them on iTunes and everything like that.
Please.
So, anything you want to plug, Al? XLM2K?
Yeah, my blog, xlm2k.blogspot.com. If you're interested in guitars and video games and stuff, please visit and leave comments. Leave comments so I know that you're there. Please. I like to read comments. Also visit Matt Ashuku's blog, BooGuns, BOOGUNS.blogspot.com. He's writing some crazy shit and needs support too, so he doesn't lose steam. Please visit and leave comments. I don't like to be the only one leaving comments on his blog, please.
I leave
Thank
shit?
You.
Come on. Slugs does too. He wants him to get a tattoo of you on his back.
Yeah, I know, but that's like from 2 weeks ago. that's it.
There's some site stuff, sorry. The reviews as of today, as of this podcast, the reviews up there haven't changed, but next week we're going to be putting up a Riven review by Safina K. It's the sequel to Myst. There's going to be another review for an Xbox Live Arcade game. I think it's Acadian Warriors.
Yeah, Acadian Warriors.
Coming up from
this actually, some other new stuff that was just, I don't know.
Yeah,
if it's
Corey, who asked us about the launch PS3 games, which ones he should. I'm sorry, he the one who had bought a PS3 and was asking us what his first game should be.
Right.
He sent us a review. If you're listening, Corey, we're giving it feedback. We're looking at it, and we will let you know what we think of it. Mm-hmm. We have one more. Max, if you're listening, the person who submitted his Lost Odyssey review. We have looked at it, we've given feedback, and we see that you've seen the feedback, and you write, "I appreciate the great feedback. I know you guys don't have a lot of time, but can you give me quick feedback on what I can improve on my writing in general?" I think if you look through the comments in what we gave you for that review, a lot of those comments in terms of just the language that you use, grammatical things, the tone that you want to take, can be applied to stuff in general. But what I would say is there's a great and for anybody who's writing reviews and they want to know how to, you know, get their ducks in a row and stuff, there is a great handbook, first of all, for general writing. It's called the Pocket Style Handbook, and it's written by Diana Hacker. All right, it's like a pamphlet. It's the height and width of a pamphlet, and it's about like 100 or so pages long. It gives you all the basics on grammar and all that shit. And then you can also download for free from the internet somewhere, or you can buy it in the store. There's a video game style guide that will further help talk about how you refer to video games, like how you write the console names, whether or not video game is one word or two. Is gameplay a real word? Is the word playability a real word? Because it's not, it's not in the dictionary, but it applies to video games. So things like that. So let me Google it right now. Video game style guide.
I think I actually might have it in my mail.
So www.vgstyleguide.com. So again, that's www.v as in vagina, g as in gina, s as in Sam, t as in titty.
Sure, s as in sina.
Fina. Jesus Christ.
T as in Tina.
So that again, that's vgstyleguide.com. And I think I was able to download it for free. You just have to sign up or something. But the only way you need to pay for it is if you actually buy it in a store. So yeah, look up the look up the Diana Hacker's pocket style handbook. Look up the video game style guide and reference manual. Look at how other people write. I'm not saying you should copy them, but look at how they phrase certain things. Look at how they give details about things like graphics and sound. Don't just say that the game sounds great. All the music is great and it's really touching. The game looks great. The graphics are really solid, and they're colorful, and they're great. I mean, you think, give examples, give details, don't get too long-winded. It's all a balancing act. So, yeah, there you go, Dax. Mm. Yeah, answered your question.
I got another yes. link for that same thing. www.lulu.com, LULU.com.
Oh, yes, that's where I downloaded it
that's
from.
That's where you got it from. /content yeah. /922500.
Yeah. And if you sign up, they'll give you a digital download. It's free. It's a good resource.
Actually, you don't even have to sign up. You just click download now.
Oh, really? I thought you had to sign up, because I had to sign up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, there you go. I mean, there's some resources that you can use to look at. And again, like the feedback that we give, don't be afraid to kind of go outside the bounds. I mean, the feedback that we give on grammar and that type of stuff, you can't ignore. Unfortunately, that stuff are rules. Listen to me talk about grammar. Those things are rules. You have to abide by them. But like stylistic choices, like, you know, if you talk in the first person or you talk in the third person, as long as you don't overdo it, you know, there are many different styles. Just pick one that you think suits you. Just be careful not to overdo whatever you're trying to do. Don't get too casual. Don't get too robotic. You know, so it's all a balancing act. And spell check.
Mm-hmm.
Please spell check. That is the biggest tip. And review us on iTunes.
Please.
Anyway, anything else, Al, or should we call it a night?
Let's call it a Diznight.
Diznight. All right, then. For Tony, who couldn't be here with us today, hopefully he'll be here next week. For Slunks. For Al.
I'm off to play some Conan.
Hyperion Adventures, Bonan. And for me, I guess. I've been your host, Austin Citroen. And we out.
McDickie suck.
McDickie suck.